Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships? What makes them work? How to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, everybody. I'm here today with my lovely friend and colleague, Prem Glidden, and we're going to talk about living in possibility, opening to love at any age. Let me tell you who Prem is. She's an international love, life, and relationship coach. She's deeply committed to evolving love in the world. As a certified Calling in the One and Conscious Uncoupling coach, Prem has supported hundreds of individuals and couples to release their painful patterns of the past and create healthy, loving relationships, both with themselves and with others. She was personally trained by Catherine Woodward Thomas, and she's also a certified lifeline practitioner, a minister of peace with the beloved community. She served as a co-director of a yoga and meditation center in Alaska for 10 years and was a teacher of Kundalini yoga for over 30 years. Prem is the best-selling author of Opening to Possibility, which is about becoming available to love and be loved. She joyfully married her beloved Bob at age 67. She is living proof that it's never too late for love. Wow, welcome, Prem.
Oh, thank you, Heather. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you for having me.
So tell us your story.
You know, absolutely. You know, and so like many women who I'm sure are listening to this, I was a successful person. I was teaching yoga. I was co-owner of a company that was doing well. Many lovely friendships in my life. But I was just deeply confused as to why I could not seem to create the kind of love and partnership I wanted. You know, my story was, you know, people tell me they love me, but they don't show me, right? They don't behave in a way that feels loving to me. And honestly, I had no idea what my part in all of that was. And I was doing healing work, and one of my clients said, oh, you need to read this book. And she handed me Calling in the One by Catherine Woodward Thomas. And what I loved about the book is it was about calling in me. Because that I could believe in at that point. I could believe in that. And so I started reading the book, and I just had such a burning passion. I must work with this woman, you know, just like. And I just found a number at the center that she had back. This was, 2006 or so. And I called and just invested in 20 session package to work with Catherine before I'd ever even met her or spoke to her. And it was so amazing because I just had no idea. I had no idea of the invisibility that I had learned as a child brilliantly, right? To create a sense of safety in a home where there was a lot of yelling and a lot of chaos, and how I would be showing up in my relationships, especially when it came to men, in a way that I didn't recognize myself and I didn't know why. And, you know, when I first met Catherine, one of the first things she said to me is, you don't even think it's possible to create the kind of love that you really want. And I said, no, right? Not really. You know, I don't have any evidence of that. And she said something that was very life-changing for me. She said, then promise me you won't be the reason why.
Wow. Yeah.
And I still get chills as I say that, because I call them the God bumps. You know, I still get them because I could say yes to. Okay. I didn't even know what that meant. She said to me, "You're going to be unrecognizable." And I had no idea what that meant. I was already, I was loving, I was kind, I was a good friend. But when I got in a relationship with a man, I became someone I didn't recognize. I became very needy. If they wanted to go work out at the gym when they could spend time with me, I felt rejected and it was very painful, and I would lash out. I would become somebody again, angry and upset, and then I'd feel terrible, and I just had that cycle over and over again. And she helped me see that she was right. I really hated that part of me. She wasn't in alignment with the image I wanted to project into the world. I was a teacher and a healer, and here was this part of me that was whiny and needy, and I honestly hated her. I didn't even know how much. And as I began to realize, and because she said to me, "You keep treating that part of you the way she always felt treated." And it's like, again, aha moment. Oh my God. And so I began to realize that it was about learning to love me. It was about understanding all the strategies that I had learned to create safety for myself, and how the truth was, when I would be in relationship with someone, I was there, but not really. And as soon as something happened that I made me feel unsafe, I didn't communicate. I just went, unsafe, shut down, and basically, rather than learning to build connection and build, which I really wanted, I built walls. And then, of course, I had no access to the love that I wanted. And then that was my experience. I'm not being loved. You tell me you love me.
But you were living love in the present as if it was the way you had been connected with in the past.
Exactly. And had no idea. I mean, that was so interesting because it wasn't like I was new to a spiritual path. At the time I met Catherine, I was in my late 50s. I understood law of attraction. I understood many things, but I did not know where I was centered. What happened for me when I became identified with this part of me that, although she longed for connection, she didn't trust it. She didn't trust it. And so I was in what I now see an impossible situation of creating what I wanted and had no idea, and kept blaming people outside of me, right? Somehow, you tell me you love me. Even my ex-husband would say, "I try to show you, you never see it." And I didn't understand. And I didn't see it because I didn't have the eyes that could see it at the time. And so over time, as I did the work, as I began to understand, as I began to center in the adult and understand when that younger part of me was speaking, was feeling triggered, and how to hold her, how to work with her, I started to show up in life in a very different way. I started to look at who I wanted to choose rather than somebody just choosing me. I started to have discernment, getting clarity about what I really wanted, and when situations came up where I felt the desire to shut down, I said no. And even though it took a little while, it felt a little scary, I said, "I'm not willing to do that anymore." And I took risks and I took chances to communicate and connect. And then within a couple years, it's interesting, my friend found my now husband on a site, and I was kind of, I came, I was born in the 50s, online dating was felt a little or inorganic to me. I did some of it at the time, but and I had had, maybe a couple good experiences, mostly strange experiences. And so she said, "No, you're not looking at the right place." And she went on to a site that was called Spiritual Singles. And she literally, I was moving to Florida at the time, and she said, "Okay." And I was just open. I had already made a decision that, number one, I was going to be happy. I was going to have the most awesome life. And I was not going to define life by my relationship status. I was And fu the funny thing is, I literally met a couple that I became very good friends with, and I traveled with them. And the three of us had the best time, and I always knew if and when my beloved showed up, he would just slide right in. And so when she kind of, my friend said, let's reach out to him, this guy, she said, he is spiritual, he is vegetarian like you are, all these things. She said, he loves music, he loves to dance. And I wasn't even a paid member. I just kind of said, I like your profile. And the funny thing was, he got it. He wasn't a paid member, and he thought, wow, she sounds great. And he paid the $17.50 at the time to join so he could connect with me. And honestly, I went slow. I enjoyed our date, and I thought, well, I'd be willing to see you again. I didn't do what I used to do. Wasn't planning my wedding after the first date anymore. I wasn't looking to see how he looked at me to define whether I was worthy, whether I was beautiful, whether I deserved to be loved. I mean, I really was very intentional and conscious about what did I like about him.
Yeah, so you were really holding all of that judgment in yourself because I understand you'd done the work, so you were present to yourself. You're much more loving and accepting. So it wasn't about being beautiful to him because actually you're beautiful to you. You're good enough as you are. You don't have to be, I don't know, whoever, posh film star to be the one who's loved, you
You
know?
know, absolutely, because I realized in my marriage, and it's like, it's what I know is, we have stories and then we gather evidence. And so I would choose the perfect people to validate my story that I was not enough, that I, wasn't going to be ever chosen, that I was a disappointment. I had all, and so I spent 20 years in a marriage, waking up every day looking, and I wasn't conscious of this, but now I see, looking over to see, am I worthy today? Am I lovable today? So I was very aware of just where I'd been and how painful, it's like that painful, that journey is so painful. And I understand. That's why, honestly, when people come to me, no matter what they tell me, I know. I know. And so I always say, look, I'm kind of a miracle. So I know it's possible for you, but you have to believe it, right? And that's the key.
Absolutely. It's interesting, you know, just going back to a point you made right at the beginning. When I saw Catherine's work, and it was on the Valentine's Day in 2016, I had that immediate thing. I've got to do this work. Just, do you want to create a miracle in your love life? Yes, I do. And you are living proof, and so am I.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was profound because I had never met Catherine, and we back then we worked on the phone. It was really before Zoom and even Skype very much work. And so, and every week for several months, little by little, just begin, oh my gosh, no idea, but it just made sense. Like, oh. And then you begin to you realize, okay, well, I was a perfect match to that, because in a world where I was looking outside of me to decide my worthiness to be loved, I chose the perfect person who could ignore me for days. You know what I mean? It's like kill me, but don't ignore me, because I mean, and I see now how perfect was that, because it forced me to finally realize that looking, I always said, absolutely, in any relationship, this person should be a safe place. But if you make them your source, if you make them your source of your safety, if you make them the source of your happiness, because nobody's going to get that right all the time.
No.
They can't. They're human. They're going to have bad days. They're going to have their own stories. And it's freedom. I mean, honestly, this is why I decided to do this work with others, because I just was so blown away by the freedom that it gave me, the release of the pain, the release of, thank God, I don't need to, I need to know. Right? I need to know my beauty. I, like you said, I need to know that I'm lovable. I need to know that no matter who you're being today.
It's really interesting because, people say, what's the difference between this and therapy? And sometimes it's quite hard to think. But for me, this process uncovered stuff. I've been in therapy years. I've been a psychotherapist since 1981, for God's sake. You would have thought I'd have done all the work by 2016. But this brought stuff to the surface that I hadn't considered, that I hadn't known about. And it made it accessible and possible to change from. I was exactly like you're describing, giving my power to other people to decide what was right and wrong for me and whether I was good enough. And that's all changed.
Oh, I love that. It's just exactly. I mean, I think, whenever you're looking for a mentor, you want to have somebody who's been where you've been and has accomplished what you've done. To me, that's what I always look for. And I love that possibility, that knowing, because that's what I feel like has to, it's like that's the start. You have to be willing to open a crack of possibility.
Yes, you
However
do.
small, it's like I get it, and people have, people don't realize, people, all the beliefs that we have. I certainly did not, right? All the beliefs that we had about what it actually means to be in a relationship, right? Who I have to become to be in a relationship. It's just like we don't even know until it comes to the surface. And like you, look, I did therapy many years. I was an individual, I was in group. And yes, there were many pieces that were helpful to me. But, to me, some of the difference between coaching and therapy is that therapy tends to spend a lot more time on where you've been. And coaching, yes, we're going to talk a little bit about where you've been to help us understand why and how certain beliefs and strategies were formed, but we're focusing more on where you're going. We're focusing on what's the intention, right? That's where you always start. What's your intention? What do you want to create? What's the North Star that you're committed to? Okay, great. That's where we're going. Here we are, right? And right, you've just got to, here's where we're going to start. What's your tapestry? I always say, what have you created? And where, what are your stories? Where are you? And what, to me, one of the most important things I learned is that the past doesn't define where I'm going unless I keep bringing it into now.
Absolutely.
Right? Keep bringing it into now. Well, here we go.
Let's act it all out again.
Absolutely.
What I love as well is that development, you're talking about really anchoring into you, is that future focus. You imagine and you envision the relationship that you're in and how you feel and who you are. And that's the piece that you bring back into you to really be who you are there now and start living and choosing from that place. Which is so empowering. I mean, in a sense, it's the good internalized parent you never had. And as a coach, we sort of stand in for that until that gets well established. It's a hell of a process. It's miraculous.
Absolutely. And really, the transformation of identity process, which is certainly what we learned from Catherine, it's very similar to internal family system. It is just teaching, giving you a tool and a process that allows you to identify with that adult self and lovingly hold these parts of you. I think that is another piece that is so important. I always tell people we do this work with a feather, not a hammer. This is not about shame, right? This is not about blame. Shame is like quicksand. It just keeps you stuck. It's a, I always say we don't know what we don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. And as you know better, you can begin to do better. But beating yourself up, it's kind of like didn't know, did the best that you know how to do. And now as you learn and you know better, you can begin to make new choices. You can begin to make new decisions. But you want to do that with such love because, as I said, treating those parts of you the same way they felt treated, it just keeps them stuck. And it takes time. It takes time to honestly create that safety, to honestly be able to hold the trauma, the feelings of those younger parts of us, those younger ones. in a way that creates safety for them. And so I think it's just, it is, it's a beautiful process for, as you said, actually achieving what you want, right? Because people know, right? I want to, as you said, here's where my North Star, and but how do I get there? And how do I begin to, what are the, what's the steps? What's something that actually creates a foundation that allows you to begin step by step to create and to be aligned, with who you need to be, right? You have to be in alignment with receiving that love, as you said, right? It's like what does it feel like? And sometimes people will say to me, and I'm like, okay, even the other day I said to somebody, okay, do you have an animal? Animals are always so easy. Yes, he has a dog, Lottie. I said, okay, great. Then think, how do you feel when you think about her? Right? It's like sometimes you have to, sometimes you can't think about something and feel good about it. Okay, you're not throwing it away forever. I always say, you put it over here, put it on the shelf, because you've got to find that good feeling place where, who maybe for a lot of people who are parents, it's one of their children, right? You find, and you think, when you feel thinking about that, how to find that place of love, find that place. Maybe it's walking in nature, right? Find a place where you can feel that sense of peace and love that you want to feel, and just be there for a while. Just find that feeling, have it become a habit, have it become something that you can, I always say, we find little bridges, right? Little bridges that, because so many times somebody is here, right? Maybe they're in some despair, maybe they're in disappointment. And I know you can't, when you're there in that problem, you can't access. It's not that it's not possible for you. It's just you can't access it from where you are. You have to create little bridges to get there. And for some, I maybe it's when you're thinking in a way that doesn't feel good, you kind of know, okay, step, falling in the hole, right? It's just going to take me in a hole. So, finding what is it, right? So being willing to say, cancel, cancel. Or sometimes there's some people, tapping is a wonderful tool, or long deep breathing. It's finding for you what is your bridge. Because once you create a bridge and you find a thought, you begin to have access to a thought that feels a little bit better. Right? It's like, does that thought feel better? Does it feel worse? Or does it feel the same? Okay, you're reaching for a little better. Because finally you're going to be at a step where it's like, oh, okay. All right, well, if they can do it, so can I, right? You can find a thought of possibility, right? I mean, that's what I always say. Look, I mean, look, if we can do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I'm Ian at 58. How old were you, did you say, when
I
you met
met
Bob?
Bob when I was 63.
Yeah, there you go. It's never too late.
Absolutely. We got married when I was 67. And
So.
I plant got to have the wedding of my dreams at 67 years old, because I had lived in an ashram for 20 years of my life. And honestly, the first, I was married twice before, and they were both arranged marriages, because that's how much I didn't believe that somebody would choose me. So I do get it. And that's how much I didn't believe. And yes, were they, I have a beautiful son. It wasn't like it was, but I understand now. So this was really the first time at 63 of meeting, and at 66 being proposed to, right? At 67 getting to plan this, and I was very blessed. I still had my parents. My parents both lived very long, and so they got to come to a wedding of, they had not ever been to my weddings because it was in the ashram and come from an Orthodox Jewish family. So again, you can, right? I understand. So they got to walk with me down the aisle, and I mean, so anything is possible, right? At any age, if you just believe and begin to live in that possibility, and to just realize that you are worthy, that you are lovable, that you are, and that You are not the reflection of people. You say people live in a reflection of people who didn't love themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's like going to the hardware store for milk. You're not going to get it there.
Not
Not
going to
because you're
work.
not lovable, because they don't have it to give.
Yeah. And they were brought up in different generations where the words emotional intelligence did not exist. They were busy
Absolutely.
keeping a roof over their head.
Yeah, absolutely. Generations of specifically, especially women who didn't love themselves, generation of men who were taught that feeling emotion was weakness. You know, I mean, so really, it's only really in our generation that that started to shift. I mean, I was part of the generation that went from, I remember doing a sit-in at high school to be able to wear jeans to school, because up until my 11th grade, I had to wear a skirt or a dress.
Yeah.
So really, we're only a couple generations into this women's empowerment, of women really beginning to even feel like they had the right, or that, or should begin to know what they wanted. It was always about our, like you said, our ability to give care, our beauty, right? How well do we take care of other people's needs?
Yeah, that was the rules. Yep. Yeah.
Fascinating, isn't it?
So tell me about you and Bob now. What are you up to?
We're just having the best time, you know. We're very much on the same page in many ways, and very different in many ways. We both, even in our 70s, Bob is 77, and we're both very committed to taking good care of ourselves. And he probably exercises more than anyone I know. He's very committed to that, and we both also have a daily practice that we do together. And I will say, for me, that having that anchor is so important, because life's going to happen, and having an anchor, you know, to begin the day with some kind of meditation, some kind of practice, I find very helpful. And, you know, we both love to travel. We have people like we love to like even this morning, we had a walk, and we were listening to a podcast that we enjoy while we walked. You know, we each put one little bud in our ear, and we listen together, and then we discuss. So, you know, again, we have our differences, and that's fine. You know, it's nice that we honor that. We both know not to blame each other for how we feel, which is so lovely, even though in the moment it might be there. But we go to our corners, and we know, because so that is, like, to me, that is the greatest gift of anything, to be with a partner that actually is self-responsible. And we travel a lot. We just came back. Actually, I was with some of our sisters in LA. I went out to California, and stayed with one of my calling in the one feminine power sisters, Susan Reiner. And then we had a gathering, and some of the other sisters came over, and we had a lovely gathering. So, and then we have two friends. The friends that I traveled with, now for the t Bob and I celebrated, it was actually our 6-year wedding anniversary, and in January, 11 years of being together. So this was a little bit of an anniversary trip, and our friends, of course, joined us, and we spent a few days in Los Angeles. And then we went out to Palm Springs and visited another friend. We still both enjoy hiking and being active. We love nature. Bob is a jazz guitar player, so he has opened my world in many ways to music. His favorite, like the American Songbook and those kind of classics, are his favorite. And he, which was, I've always been loved music, but that was a whole world opened up to me. And so we attend a lot of music together. We're actually about to, we both love the Abraham Hicks work, and we're actually in 2 weeks going on a Abraham Hicks cruise for 10 days. So, you know, we both are committed to enjoying life together. We both understand that mindset, how we think, is so important to life, and so important to having a good life. And we both have things we love and allow each other to be who we are. Like I said, we certainly have differences, but we treat them with respect. But we're just Honestly, we're just having fun and enjoying each other.
That's
As I know
great.
you and Ian are as well.
So, this is so beautiful, Prem. Thank you so much. Tell me how people can find you if they want to work with you.
Absolutely. Feel free to go to my website, which is Prem Glidden, PremGlidden.com. I can feel free to reach out. I offer a free 30-minute discovery call where you can kind of share with me what you're looking for. I can share with you what it would look like to work with me, and we can decide, are we a good fit? Am I someone that could bring value to you? Because that would be very important to me if we work together. And certainly I can share about my book, which is called Opening to Possibility, Becoming Available to Love and Be Loved. And this was actually written with one of my very first clients that I'm met many years ago. Even honestly, before I even began the Calling in the One work, I was doing my lifeline work, and I had worked with her brother, and she was like me. She was a woman who was honestly beautiful inside and out, successful, and looking for love in all the wrong places, looking outside of her for her validation. She actually lived in Norway and was very, like I said, successful. And we began to work together, and through our work together, she found amazing love. She had a daughter naturally at 45 years old. And because she was in the arts already, she said to me, "We have to write a book about her journey." And so the book is about the steps. We kind of broke it down. Well, what were the steps to creating amazing love in her life? And beautiful is, thing is that a few years ago, Bob and I did a trip to Scandinavia, and I got to meet her and her husband for the first time in person. All those years we worked together, we wrote a book together, we never met. So, just again, I just want everyone to know that anything is possible for you, that to create amazing love and partnership in your life. And if I can be of support in that way, I certainly would love to.
So, Prem, you said that you never even discussed marriage. Tell me about it. What happened?
Yeah, well, again, we were already, both of us at that point, in our 60s, and we living in Florida, a lot of couples here, married, unmarried, just it was just nice to have a partner, someone fun to be with. And so we hadn't really talked about it. But as I said, I still had my parents, and I think part of me really thought the because I think I mentioned to you, because I had lived in an ashram and my marriage were arranged, my parents had never been to one of my weddings. And so part of me was like, that would be a gift that I would love to give them. And I don't even know if I ever said it to Bob, but I think he kind of knew. And so we were on a jazz cruise. Because I said he's a musician and he loves to go on these cruises. And so it was our 4-year anniversary of from when we met. And he had said to me, what? And at this point, I don't think he was thinking either. He just was really thinking, "Let's go down to the jewelry store on the ship, and I'd love to buy you something." And so before we went in, I said, "All right, give me a budget, because tell me a price range so I know." And he kind of gave me a price range. I said, "Okay." And so I'm looking, and somehow I was just drawn to the rings, and I wasn't, again, not thinking anything at all. And the woman in the store said to me, "I have a ring I think you would love. And it's in the office. Let me go get it." And she brings it back, and it was like a little ring with two, I don't actually even have that one on right now, but it was a little ring with two little diamonds, a little. And I looked at it. Of course, it fit me perfectly, a little outside budget. And Bob looked at it and he said, "We're going to get it." So we got that ring, right? So this true story. So we're with our friends. We're with two other couples, the couple that we travel with and other friends that were music friends. And that other friend, Lisa, she's one of my fashion people, right? And so she sees, we go to dinner, and I said, "Oh, look what Bob bought me for our anniversary." And she looks at me, goes, "Well, what hand are you going to wear that on?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, this hand means friends, good, love and friendship. This hand means engaged." And It must have been at a time, must not have been right at dinner because Bob wasn't there. And I'm like, well, and she looks at me and goes, your mother's going to want to know. I'm like, okay. So I don't say anything. So the next day, Bob and I are in our cabin. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I say this, right? And so I said to him, Lisa shared with me about the idea of, and I was kind of embarrassed and I was a little bit looking away about which hand or whatever. And I look back around and he's down on one knee. And he says to me, you know what, you're the love of my life. And, will you marry me? And, of course, we both cried and they said yes. And, was so funny because he admitted to me at that point he had been thinking about it, but this was just, it just was the right moment, and there it was. And then we were able, of course, to go tell our friends that we're engaged, and of course, mother and father were very, very happy as well. But yeah, so and we took about a year, and because I said I'd never planned a wedding before in that way, and we wrote all our vows ourselves. This is kind of special. We didn't tell anyone. We had two friends that were, he was a guitarist and she was a jazz singer. We met with them and they played music as each person walked, they played my parents' song, which was more, more than the greatest, right? But we planned a secret thing that as I was going to start down the walk down the aisle, they were going to hand the microphone to Bob and he sang My Girl. Da, 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 da. And I walked down the aisle to him singing My Girl. And it was so beautiful. I was twirling around and so amazing. And Catherine came to the wedding and shared a poem at the wedding.
Oh, that's so
Yeah,
beautiful.
she came all the way across the country from California to Florida and spoke at our weddings, which, of course, for me was so meaningful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Couldn't have done it without her.
She had to be there. She knew that. Absolutely. She had to be there. And it made it so special. And even at the ceremony, well, after the ceremony, we had a little reception and cocktail hour. And I sang a song to Bob. I sang, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You. And he sang, It Had to Be You. And then we did our first dance to our, we, another great story. I love to ballroom dance, and he actually did too, but we had not learned, we'd learned separately. So I didn't love kind of going out on my own dancing, and I never felt that comfortable. It was kind of intimate. So I literally hired a host that I really liked, and once a week I would go dancing with him, and it was so fun because he was a really good dancer. So I hadn't talked to him in a couple years. I messaged him and said, hey, would you be willing to teach us a wedding dance for our wedding? And he said, I injured my knee. I'm not really. He goes, but as a wedding present, I'm going to give you Patty. And this lovely Patty came over and she taught us this amazing foxtrot dance to Our Love Is Here to Stay, Frank Sinatra. So we had, it was just, the whole thing was just so beautiful. It was a beautiful wedding. And at the wedding, Catherine, they offered people to get up and speak, and she got up and spoke again about the journey that she saw me take, and how much happy it made her that I had, was with somebody who supported me being the best woman I could be and being who I could be. So it was very full circle moment for sure, and very special.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear all this. I really am. Oh, thank you for sharing that. That's a
Absolutely.
whole other piece.
Yes, yeah. Very, very, very blessed. Very, very blessed.
This is so beautiful, Prem. Thank you very, very much.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you for having me, and it's so nice to connect and be with you for sure.
Oh, that's so lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.